The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 4. Here at the end of the doctrine of salvation, have the doctrine of the rapture handy. Once again, this is the time set aside so that you can be sure that you are in the right mindset for the assimilation of this information, for your edification and growth and orientation to this great plan that we are so privileged to be a part of, not only a part of it, but to know how it works and how what we need to do to maximize our final time on this earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for the truth that we have and the provisions that you continue to make for us, both seen and unseen, so that we can be here in this capacity and work out our own phase 2 salvation. Be with us now in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the doctrine is devoted to the salvation adjustment to God, but this final point recognizes that the word salvation, soteria in the Greek, the Greek noun, and sozo, to save, the Greek verb, that the word general meaning is a deliverance from something. And, of course, the salvation adjustment delivers us from the condemnation, the death sentence, if you will, that we were all born physically under. And the salvation adjustment enables human beings to step free from the fate of those who remain in unbelief. We were all in the same situation, but those of us who have come to salvation, we have stepped clear of that forever. And this doctrine is dedicated to the idea that you build up your confidence with regard to this adjustment, that you are absolutely assured that you are saved, as they say, once saved, always saved, that you know maintenance is required on the salvation adjustment, the thing that delivered you and I from the lake of fire. The work of Christ cannot be added to. Salvation is not based on human merit, human goodness. Salvation is based on the person of Christ and one's attitude towards him in time. So people, they're all in this danger zone. We see it. It's the insanity of it. To live another day and not make that adjustment. And it doesn't cost you anything. It's free. It's grace. And it is provided by God and clearly articulated in so many of these verses that we looked up. All right, the word salvation means deliverance. Other uses of the word, or other applications of the word, beyond the salvation adjustment, again, everyone thinks in categorical terms, hopefully. The plan of God is divided into three phases. That makes it easy to work with. Phase 1 is salvation. Phase 2 is the believer in time, from the point of salvation until the believer goes into the afterlife. Phase 3 is the believer in the afterlife and all the particulars related to that. Salvation is used, or the word is used, and I won't look these up all, but that people are delivered from, believers are delivered from things. So are unbelievers. But believers are under God's watch and care, and he delivers us from temporal situations. And that's where we put things in God's hands, let him deal with situations, and he will deliver you one way or another from all of your afflictions. Deliverance from loss at the Bema seat, Now, this is the one that very few, apparently, from what I've been able to study, very few are going to make this hurdle. There's another issue up against you, not your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny is fixed. If you die tomorrow, you'll be face to face with the Lord, waiting for the rapture. But there is another issue, and that issue is coming out in the good side of the rapture event, in the fullest sense of the word. Yes, all believers will be raised from the dead. All of them. The dead and the living. The good and the ones who failed in time to accomplish finishing the race in good order. Now, a person reading the Bible would not necessarily, unless it's pointed out to them, that there's another main issue. There was not another main issue. You just dismiss and go your way and you're saved and touch base with it once in a while, and that's all you need to know. But as I've said, there's a lot of believers out there. They don't even know this. They don't even have this confidence. They spend all this time going to church. They do not have this confidence. And this is really an important part of your spiritual armor, to have the helmet of salvation firmly affixed on your head. That means you understand the particulars. You can articulate the details. A concept is brought up and you immediately have a frame of reference for it. Like the different words that are used with regard to salvation, propitiation, reconciliation, and what have you. You immediately have an understanding. You have the background to all of this. And you have the verses that say that all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. They pile up. And you have those. So you can witness it, and you can have it for your own peace and comfort. Philippians 2:12. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed. He's commending the Philippian church at this point in their history and the group that was there in Philippi, and their obedience is to the truth. And it started with obeying the gospel, which your part, their part, was to believe. And then beyond that, to be viable believers in time. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. They had a particular situation where their pastor, teacher, their spiritual leader was not with them face to face. We don't typically have to deal with that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Working out your own salvation is the deliverance from loss and shame at the judgment seat of Christ. That's that deliverance. Those that do not will not be delivered from loss and shame. They will experience it in full measure, in full realization of what they missed out on, because they were caught up in the usual things believers get caught up in. For it is God, keeping your eyes on God, who is at work in you. This is the mystery. God is at work in us, bringing us along spiritually for those who desire truly to stay the course and see this through. God is at work in you, both to will and to work out for His good pleasure. And 1 Timothy 4:16. This is applied to the pastor, because it's directed at Paul's protege, Timothy, whom in these final letters wrote him. And this applies to me directly, but it is, pay close attention to yourself. You've got an STA. You can undo your own ministry, your own calling, and to your teaching, content. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation, not phase one here. You will ensure salvation. Timothy's saved, both for yourself and for those who listen to you. So that's the process. And that's that. So the rapture is a form of deliverance. What's going to be delivered at the rapture? The human physical body will be delivered from the condition that humanity is in, with all of the ills associated with living in the flesh, which is the deliverance of the body. The body will be delivered. Whether it's for all those that are in the grave, their bodies, the body will be delivered. In salvation, the soul is delivered from the curse, from the condemnation. The body will follow. It will follow. It isn't certainly delivered at salvation. It's in the same state it was before it was saved. Do this knowing the time. It's essential that believers be acclimated to their time and place on the timeline. And that comes from studying Scripture, the prophetic word, knowing dispensations, knowing the time. That it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Wake up call. Get out of your sleep. Get out of all the things that are dragging you down, including being out of fellowship, pursuing the wrong kinds of things. But you wake up out of your sleep. Sleep here is used in the negative sense of not being alert and awake to what's going on in your life and where you're at spiritually. And a lot of believers are in that. They're asleep. And therefore they are not aware of the things they need to be aware of in the angelic conflict. For now salvation is near to us than when we believed. So he can't be referring to phase one. We're moving, ever moving closer. Now, all these people before us, they all died. And so, while they didn't have a rapture event, they crossed that line into the afterlife. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9. This verse says at least two things. It introduces the concept of the divine decrees. Kings make decrees. God has divine decrees. For God has not destined us for wrath. That does not refer to hell. Although wrath is used of hell, it is not the wrath in view here. There's several there's categories of wrath. What's falling on humans for their misbehavior and actions out there. Judgments falling on humanity in all sorts of ways. That's the wrath of God being manifested upon individuals, nations, but it is used as a synonym, appropriately so, for the tribulation, the day of God's wrath. He's not destined us for the trib. My take on that. He has not destined us for wrath. The Thessalonians got caught up in the idea by false teachers insinuating themselves through a letter, got them screwed up on stuff. That actually comes out in 2 Thessalonians. He'd already taught them the right eschatology, the right doctrine, the prophecy and things. That the church is not, and that we'll point out, the church is not going through the 7-year trib. It'll start the minute we're raptured out. The trib is a part of the dispensation of Israel that God interrupted before those 7 years could be realized. The 70th week of Daniel's 7 years. At the end of the 69th week of years. in 33 AD. The church age began. Okay? So, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining a deliverance. See, there's the word translated salvation. Imagine reading the Bible and you think it, you wouldn't know this. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a reference to the rapture. It is the deliverance from what immediately is set in motion. And to reiterate again, no one can have a relationship with God apart from the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. And I'm not going to look those verses up because we have covered it fairly well, I think. A couple of concluding verses back in Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone who thirsts. That's someone who is positive and wanting an answer about eternal matters. That's a person that thirsts. You know what it is to be thirsty. Come to the waters. This is the waters of salvation. Water is used here of, and we've seen it elsewhere, to illustrate salvation. And you who have no money, come. It's open to all. This is not based on anybody's status in the world with regard to their material status. That's added. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Get into the plan and begin to enjoy the benefits. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, of course. The beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes, that's the salvation adjustment. That's the overcomer. All believers are overcomers. Shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Okay? Doctrine of the Rapture, should have handy. Let's jump into that. Where did this term come from? It is an anglicized word. It derives from a Latin verb, rapere, used to translate in the Latin version, caught up, harpazo. Harpazo is a strong verb, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We'll break this down for you. Because what I'm going to try to do is explain to you how this thing will, how this event will, the sequencing of the things that occur in the day of the rapture, the moment of the rapture. But anyway, then we who are alive and remain, this is the body of Christ, that part of us who make it to the rapture event alive. Believers all over the earth, wherever they are. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, harpazo, together with them. Them refers to the dead in Christ, who get resurrected just right before we do. I try to process this all the time and think about it, what it's going to be like. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll always be with the Lord. And we're supposed to comfort each other with these words. It refers to the physical transfer of believers from earth to heaven. John 14:3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, and I do, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the concept is introduced here in the public ministry of Christ at this point. It was for later for the disciples to figure that out. See, it involves the instantaneous metamorphosis. Metamorphosis means a change of the body into a resurrection body, exactly like Christ's. We're talking about the body now. The physical body will have the same dynamic as the Lord's body as a result of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, the mystery here is something hidden that has been brought to light in this new dispensation. Because the rapture doctrine, as far as I know, is reserved for the New Testament. And was revealed to the believers how this dispensation would end. We shall not all sleep. Another use of the word sleep. Sleep, what does sleep mean? Rest. You're resting. You're resting your body. Don't do it in Bible class. This isn't the place to sleep. It's a place to be awake, physically and otherwise. We shall not all sleep. Another way, it's okay, it's a euphemism. They're asleep. Their body's at rest. The body is dead, of course. That's the non-euphemism. There's a lot of euphemisms in the Bible. And then there's direct statements. We shall not all sleep. That is, die. But we shall all be changed. How long is this going to take? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. I don't know if you can time the twinkling of an eye. But that's quick. That is exceedingly quick. At the last trumpet, this corresponds over into Corinthians, there will be a trumpet sound. It will be heard worldwide. Now, what people will make of it, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That means a body that is not subject to the ills that we all face. Imperishable body. Bulletproof. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can hurt it. Nothing. Hard to imagine that a physical thing like that cannot be harmed. And we shall be changed. It includes church age saints exclusively. So let's back up. The only one person with a resurrection body currently is Jesus Christ. Do not confuse that with people who have been raised from the dead and brought back into their natural state. That's a resurrection too. But it's not a resurrection to immortality. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. It includes church age saints exclusively. Again, this is where dispensation comes in. The dead in Christ. Positional sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, union with Christ. Something, salvation was the same before and always has been the same. But the fact is that this is a unique situation. And all the other related stuff, we share what Christ is, we share His destiny, we're in union with Christ. That means He's royalty, we're royalty. He's a priest, we're priests. We share His destiny. It's called the head and body metaphor. Head and body metaphor suggests that we can't have one without the other connected to it. Or the bride of Christ concept. I was thinking the other day, Jesus' mother, Mary, she's a church age saint. She lived, she was there on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. Her husband, however, Joseph, he died in the age of Israel. Okay, well, when you say big deal, what's that? Well, she's a part of the bride of Christ and she's his mother. I don't know. I just look at those analogies. You do think about this stuff, don't you? It includes church age saints exclusively, the dead in Christ. Hoi nekroi en Christo. It includes this dispensation and ushers in the day of the Lord. So there, all humanity, when it's all said and done, will be resurrected. But there's not all at once. The church gets resurrected first. The Old Testament saints have to wait basically until the second advent, 7 years. They won't be coming out of heaven at the second advent. I mean, with the church. It's Christ and the church coming at the second advent. It concludes this dispensation. This dispensation will conclude. The body of Christ will be completed, using the body metaphor. There are so many parts and individual parts of a human body. Once it is completed, and there's another analogy to a building, once it is all completed, the rapture will occur. The rapture cannot happen just any old time, because this would upset. What about those that are still ahead of us that haven't believed yet? And there are some people out there that haven't believed yet, and who will believe in the final years before we're out of here. Synonyms: redemption, Romans 8:23. Even we ourselves, now a healthy believer with regard to this and the desire for this, groan within ourselves. This is sanctified groaning. It is a result of having this doctrine in your soul. People groan about a lot of things and sigh. Some people do it in Bible class. I've had to watch this. Oh well. I've gotten impervious to it. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. That is the redemption of our body. We talk about the redemption of the soul, redemption of the body, Ephesians 1:14. Who, antecedent Holy Spirit, is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 4:30, the day of redemption. That's the rapture. Redemption of the body. The souls of the dead in Christ will be reunited with their new bodies. So they'll be brought out of heaven and hook up with their soul where they left it in time, hook back up with it. While the rest of us will be transformed right while we stand, sit, whatever. Hope. I've noticed today people, it's sad, these Christians, they don't have any firm hope. I overhear them talking sometimes, usually in a restaurant environment, but I can't get away from them. And so I listen to them, and then I go to church and all this stuff. And you don't hear. And I know it's isolated, and I'm just talking about a few people that I run into. But you don't hear anything about. And I'm looking forward to getting out of here and getting a resurrection body. Things like that. You don't hear, well, there are problems. You don't hear about anything about faith rest. Casting your cares on the Lord. No, you don't hear it. They talk like unbelievers, a lot of them. What I expect this from unbelievers. Believers ought to know better. What do they do? I spend all this time going to church. They don't learn this. They don't relate to these things like testing and adversity. Hope. Looking for the blessed hope. That's another term for it. Blessed hope. And the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2-3. This hope. This is a part of our hope. People are hoping for this. They hope this will happen. They hope they're going to get married. They hope they're going to get this job. They hope they're going to get go over this sickness. All the kind of stuff people hope for. Not that those things are bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is our hope and our confidence. And don't let anybody upset you with regard to it. Nobody. That works in with don't let anybody take your crown. 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also confirm you to the end. The end of what? Phase 2. Blameless. Those of us who make the grade, you say, I don't feel blameless. You are if you're doing the things of doctrine. Even with sinning, you rebound, and that absolves you, and you move forward. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, Paul says, the day will reveal divine good versus human good of the believer. 1 Corinthians 5:5, in the day of the Lord, and so forth. Upward call, how appropriate. We're called up, and that's a physical up. Upward call. The upward call of God, Philippians 3:14. Again, as I said, salvation. We'll take 1 Peter 1:5. who are protected by the power of God. Nothing can knock out of your salvation. You can look anybody in the face and you can't take away that from me. We're protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. Parousia, coming. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Christ the first fruits. This goes back to the Old Testament system of a feast, the feast of first fruits. They would bring in from the field an offering from the field of the part of the harvest that had reached maturity. Every plant out there doesn't reach maturity simultaneously. And they would wave that. And that represented Christ, the first fruits, resurrection. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. James 5:7-8. This is the one we're really under. They experienced it too. They had to live out their phase two. They had to deal with things. They had this hope in them. I would imagine that they were taught that the rapture event itself cannot occur until certain historical things come to pass. And they haven't come to pass in our lifetime. So you'd be in a different situation where you'd say, okay, I'm going to die and go to heaven and fine. But you still hope for it and you still long for it. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Well, what came first for them was they died. They weren't running around thinking, well, it can happen any minute now. I'll get into that later. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Romans 13:11. And this do, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. We read that one in the previous. Revelation, apocalypse. Awaiting eagerly the revelation. A revelation is showing something, exposing it publicly. Awaiting eagerly. See, the mindset is eagerness. You can judge your own attitude as a believer in Maranatha Church at this time in your history. If this is eagerly is a part of your frame of reference. Now, I don't expect that a new believer will get on top of this instantly necessarily. But eventually, you begin to become occupied with these things. This is your destiny. Waiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 7:13, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And finally, manifestation. Epiphania. It's translated here in 1 Timothy 6:14, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future, Paul's dying grace, of course he had this in his soul before, on the eve of his execution, martyrdom. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. This is the top prize. This is the one that will mark you out if you get it from all the rest of the believers, and you'll be in that elite category. It's open to everybody, as he says here. But how many Christians are positive enough or are going to endure to the end? And accomplish this event, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Epiphania. In Colossians 3:14, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So it's pretty clear from these so far that the Scripture has a lot to say about our destiny. This doctrine is part of, I've noticed on this, mystery doctrines of the church. The doctrine of the church in general, the coming of the church was hidden in part from Old Testament saints. When I say in part, they knew there would be a dispensation. Certain prophets like Moses and I believe Hosea made it clear that Israel was going to be set aside and God was going to bring in another people. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know any of the details. All they had was this basic information. If you were a knowledgeable person, you knew that Israel was going to get benched, to use the football term. Benched. The quarterback has lost his poise, his mind, and we need to set him down. We're not firing him. We're not even trading him. He's just going to sit down and bring somebody else in. And so it was turned over to the church. And it took these people a while to begin to grasp this idea. A lot more Jewish, they got to figure out what dispensation and what are the ground rules now. I think it's inexcusable for people running around trying to live in the age of Israel. Or put another way, do not believe in the doctrine of dispensations. There are four dispensations: age of the Gentiles from Adam to Abraham, age of the Jews from Abraham to Christ, first advent, and then the church age from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. Age of Israel has this piece, this is kind of like it was inserted in here, and then the age of Israel starts again in the trib with all of its differences, and then the age of Christ, the fourth one, the 1,000-year reign. I read this one to you. So behold, I tell you a mystery. If the doctrine of the church was hidden, then the idea of the rapture was... The Old Testament saints knew there was going to be a resurrection. They believed that there was going to be a future resurrection. But they didn't know about this dispensation, and they didn't know... I tell you a mystery. While on earth, Jesus Christ promised the disciples the rapture. John 14:13, we read this. We've kind of followed the pattern of Jesus Christ. He was resurrected, and he was translated, doctrine of ascension, to heaven. The Acts verse deals with his final ascension into the third heaven from the earth. Enoch and Elijah and the two witnesses illustrate the doctrine. One day they weren't found. I have questions about that too. What happened to their bodies? And if you don't die, I mean, they didn't die a normal death like people normally do. Lay down and die, get old, whatever. But Enoch, the seventh from Adam, one day they couldn't find him. They had no habeas corpus, no body. Same thing with Elijah. There was no body left. So where'd it go? It's just a question I have. Relationship between sleeping and living saints at the rapture. Okay. This is at the heart and soul of this. This is an important doctrine that Paul did not want his congregation or congregations to be ignorant of. Ignorance is not a virtue. Now, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, death of the body. That you may not grieve, even as the rest who have no hope. He didn't say you wouldn't grieve at the loss of somebody. That's fine. But you don't grieve like they do, because they have no hope that they'll ever see this person again. We do. We're just separated from them for a while. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, first class condition, and we do. That's all you have to be a part of this. All you have to believe in the person and work of Christ, that he died and he rose again. Even so, those who have slept through the agency of Jesus, their death wasn't an accident. It was divine timing and they died. However, whether it was in a positive way as a positive believer or the sin and the death, they died through the agency of Jesus. He took them home. He took them out of here. So they, through the agency of Jesus, the God will bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Throw back to John 14:3, I think it was. that we who are alive, that is, remaining, shall by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. The normal thinking might be, well, they died, and we're going to get ours first, and then God will pick up the dead in Christ. And while it might seem like an unimportant point, it is a point that's brought out here. They get their resurrection body first. So, if a believer is dead, and people are viewing the dead person as in a corpse in a funeral, or someone dies on an operating table, what have you, that person will come up first. That person will be resurrected first. And I don't believe they will just do it in a way that they'll just disappear. That people witnessing this will see it. Think how freaky this is going to be for people. Because they're going to witness believers around them. But the dead in Christ, they get their resurrection. Okay, let me put it this way. A second before the rest of us do. Whatever. There's not a big lapse. But it is, it's like a door where one person can pass through at a time. You go first. And then the next person follows immediately on their heels. That's the idea here. Imagine how wonderful all this was to these people who are in paganism with all that dark stuff and not really knowing about anything about the afterlife. And now they got all this hope. They're just like we are today. We got the same doctrine. They had the same hope. They're the dead in Christ. They're in heaven. Their body's in the grave. They will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. Then we have the breakdown. This is the basic breakdown that I have explained to you numerous times. So if you're alive when this event occurs, in the short time it'll all take place, your pulse can race up and you can be excited about this. Because before the dead in Christ are raised, this is what will happen. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. He'll come from the third heaven back to at a certain distance above the earth. I kind of like area. Clouds are at different levels, I understand. And he will descend with a loud command. Now, how loud can a resurrection body project itself? Well, this is a loud command. It again will reverberate. I don't know how that works, but it will reverberate. We have angels who are able to voice something, and everybody hears it. Book of Revelation. And I think the resurrection body is at least equal to the power of an angel, if not superior. He will descend from heaven with a loud command. And the voice of an archangel. There you are. Archangels have some real lungs on them. They can really project themselves. It's a mystery. Angels are a big mystery. But it's the voice of an archangel. That's one of those top angels. And with the trumpet blast of God. We've all heard a trumpet blast. It'll be a very high-pitched, intense blast. It's inarticulate, but it's a trumpet. Trumpets were used for assemblies. In the ancient world, they would blow trumpets to signal oncoming events or some danger from one place to the next with a trumpet blast of God. And the dead in Christ shall be caught up with them in the clouds. So, 1-2. The dead in Christ, they're standing on the earth for a split second or whatever it is. And then we are transformed right on their heels. And then the whole church all around the world will be caught up to meet Christ in the air. That's the picture here in Thessalonians. For the purpose of, I translate it, my translation, it's a special word. It's found, I don't think, anywhere else in the New Testament. For the purpose of meeting the Lord in the air. This is a specialized meeting. Okay, we would expect that we would hook up with Him, but it's a meeting. It's where, before we go to heaven, we have our evaluation. The judgment seat of Christ does not occur in heaven. It occurs above the earth. And so shall we always be with the Lord. This is a reassurance that we're not going to be separated from Him, and where He is, we are. Heaven, in the air, then the trip to the third heaven, where we will reside for the festivities, if you want to call them that. The excitement preceding the second advent for 7 years. Therefore, keep on encouraging one another with these words. These are words of encouragement, designed to encourage you in this life. And then 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. See, that reinforces the idea that whether you're alive, being dead is no problem. Raising the dead isn't a problem. Jesus illustrated on a micro level when He brought the putrefied corpse of Lazarus back in perfect condition. And that was back to mortality. We're going to be resurrected to immortality. The body will have the same dynamics that Christ has in His. Absolutely perfect. We will pick up with false views of the rapture. They're silly, but they've been out there. We'll touch on those next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.